This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 5th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, we'll take a look at this week's Environmental Almanac. Bob Catter looks at the state's largest rodent, the beaver. We'll also get a forecast for the weekend from AM 580 meteorologist Ed Keezer. First, today's news. Attorney General Lisa Madigan accuses two Champaign County medical clinics of conspiring to refuse service to new patients on Medicaid. But now one of them, Carl Clinic, has reached a settlement in the case that promises to extend care to more Medicaid patients. Jim Meadows reports.
The Attorney General's office says that pending court approval, Carl Clinic will increase the number of Medicaid patients it treats by nearly a third, reaching 11,850 over the next 3 years. Carl's spokeswoman Jennifer Hendricks won't commit to specific numbers, but she says the number of Medicaid patients they serve is already on the rise thanks to the Illinois Health Connect program launched last year. She says that's improved the state's tardy reimbursement record that led them to stop accepting new Medicaid patients in the first place back in 2003.
We have seen more prompt, more timely payments, and they have upheld their end of the agreement with Illinois Health Connect, and we have seen increases in the numbers of people we've been able to see and continue to do that.
But Carl Clinic still denies the lawsuit's central charge, not that they turned away Medicaid patients, which is legal, but that they conspired with Christie Clinic to determine their Medicaid policy. Meanwhile, Christie Clinic says they'll keep fighting the lawsuit. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Executives say Broman Regional Medical Center in Normal will delay breaking ground on its $54 million building addition by several months because of a lack of financing. Economic woes have dried up long-term financing, which has also led Urbana's Carle Foundation Hospital to extend the timeline on its own $236 million expansion project. Governor Rob Blagojevich has twice this year ignored the wishes of a state commission, and one lawmaker wants to make sure he won't be able to do that again in the future. Amanda Vinicky has more.
The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability is a bipartisan legislative panel. It weighs in on proposed sales or closures of state buildings. The governor is trying to close two facilities now. He wants to shut down a prison in Pontiac, and he wants to move the State Division of Traffic Safety from Springfield to deep southern Illinois. The commission unanimously rejected both ideas, but Blagojevich is proceeding anyway. Representative Raymond Poe is a Springfield area Republican and a member of the commission. He wants to make its rulings binding.
The governor's here 4 to 8 years, and it's setting quite a precedent that each governor's going to come along and start moving facilities.
Poe's proposal would not apply retroactively. Even so, the fates of the prison and traffic safety division aren't definite yet, as lawsuits have been filed in both cases. The governor's office never returned phone calls for comment. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
A new national report gives Illinois higher education low marks when it comes to affordability. That story from Sean Crawford.
A public policy group's report card finds the cost of going to college in Illinois has skyrocketed, forcing families to come up with nearly twice what was needed at the start of the decade. That's making it harder for some to attain higher education. The survey found fewer than half of young people in Illinois enroll by age 19. That's below many other states. Carrie Heitman chairs the Illinois Board of Higher Ed. She says the rise in tuition creates two classes of individuals.
There's the haves and the have-nots. You know, those that are not able to access the higher education system are not able to meet the economic challenges that face everybody.
Heitman says the board's new master plan for colleges and universities includes various proposals to address such needs, including aligning high school curriculum with that of colleges. She says that will better prepare students for higher education, as well as save time and money once they reach college. I'm Sean Crawford.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is not backing away from his statement that former Illinois Governor George Ryan should be freed from prison. Durbin sent a letter this week to the White House asking President Bush to commute Ryan's sentence. Since then, a number of prominent Illinois politicians have come out against Durbin's request, but yesterday Durbin held firm.
I made this decision personally. I never asked for any elected officials to join me and support me in this effort. I did not quietly send the letter and slink away into the shadows. I had a press conference, and I answered all the questions and explained why I did it, and I stand by my decision.
Governor Oblagojevich says he agrees with Durbin that Ryan should be freed. Those opposed include Attorney General Lisa Madigan, a Democrat, and Congressman Mark Kirk and DuPage County State's Attorney Joe Burkett, both Republicans. The U.S. Department of Agriculture predicts that a tree-killing beetle, already affecting more than 20 Illinois counties, will hit Champaign County by next spring. A local task force started meeting this week to suggest preventative measures against the emerald ash borer and get other communities, as well as arborists and nurseries, involved. The group has already started an inventory on ash trees within the county. Urbana City arborist Mike Brunk has two suggestions for citizens to do their part.
Keep an eye on where their firewood's coming from. And the second thing is, if they have any sickly ash trees, we're recommending not trying to salvage those. We've been having a viral problem with our ash trees for over about the last 10 years, but they need to take them down.
Brunk says the declining trees can serve as an incubator for emerald ash borers. He notes there are more than 500 ash trees in Urbana alone, and they hope to spread out the removal of sickly trees over time, noting doing several in a short time frame can mean additional tax money. Last month, four central Illinois counties, including McLean, were added to those with the state's ash borer quarantine. Larvae from the ash borer feed on the inner bark of the trees, hurting their ability to transport water and nutrients. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor looks at the state's largest rodent.
On a recent walk at River Bend Forest Preserve, someone I met on the trail asked if I knew where would be a good place to see beavers in Illinois. After a moment's thought, I answered, anywhere, because there are unmistakable signs of them in so many places. Beaver-chewed trees, sticks stripped of bark, and the slides beavers create by dragging branches down the bank are just part of the landscape along many bodies of water in the prairie state. Looking back, though, I realized that my quick answer didn't really get the questioner any closer to laying eyes on Illinois' largest rodent. That's because even though beavers live throughout the prairie state, they are not often seen, since they're most active at night or near dusk and dawn. My answer really should have been to say that if you want to see beavers, your best bet is to find a site on a stream or pond where they've been active and quietly watch it in the hour before sunset. Of course, there was a time in the not-too-distant past when it was difficult to find beavers in Illinois at all, since prior to 1900 they were nearly extirpated from the state by unregulated trapping. They bounced back over the course of the 20th century through a combination of protection and reintroduction, and are now common where suitable habitat exists. Indeed, beavers can be a significant nuisance when their ideas about suitable locations for ponds conflict with ours. The fact that beavers modify their environment in a big way also endears them to humans and benefits the many plants and animals that make use of wetlands. For beavers, the point of building dams is to create ponds that are deep enough not to freeze solid in winter. This allows them to construct lodges that are accessible only through underwater passages. The stereotypical beaver home is a dome-shaped mound made of sticks, logs, and mud, and a really big one may be 10 feet tall and 30 feet around. But many perfectly respectable beavers live in burrows excavated in the banks of bodies of water, too. That's why you may find all of the other evidence that beavers inhabit a pond or stretch of river without ever seeing a lodge. Bank burrows, like lodges, provide beavers with protection from weather and predators. Beavers possess an array of physical adaptations that suit them for a semi-aquatic life. They propel themselves through the water with webbed hind feet, using their signature paddle-shaped tail as a rudder. Their eyes are protected by a clear third eyelid, and their nostrils and ears can be closed when they submerge. A beaver may remain underwater for as long as 15 minutes at a stretch. Unlike most other mammals, beavers are monogamous, and male and female beaver mates remain together until one of the pair dies. Beaver young live with their parents for nearly 2 years, so family groups include adults, yearlings, and kits all together. If you would like to learn more about beavers or any of the other 59 species of wild mammals that regularly occur in Illinois, I would encourage you to pick up a copy of the Field Manual of Illinois Mammals, published this year by the Illinois Natural History Survey. The manual contains all of the information you could ask for in such a book, but it is written with attention to the interests of readers who are not scientists, and it is distinguished by first-class photographs and original color drawings.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or to listen to it again, you can follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu, and you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the U of I Office of Continuing Education. Looks like we have a pattern of sunshine followed by a little more precipitation and cold temperatures through the weekend, according to AM 580 meteorologist Ed Kieser. For today in far northern Indiana, mostly cloudy with a few flurries early. Elsewhere in the north, partly sunny. And in central sections of the two states, mostly sunny. In the south, a mix of clouds and sun. Highs ranging from 21 in far northern Illinois to 36 in the far south. Sunny and 26 in Champaign-Urbana. For tonight, in the north, cloudy with light snow arriving overnight. In central Illinois, cloudy with light snow arriving after midnight. And in central Indiana, increasing clouds. Partly cloudy in the south, lows between 16 and 24. 17 this evening in Champaign-Urbana with slowly rising temperatures overnight and light snow arriving after midnight. For tomorrow, in northern and central Illinois, cloudy with some snow in the morning. In northern and central Indiana, cloudy with snow all day. In the south, mostly cloudy, a few scattered flurries in the morning. And highs tomorrow from 25 in far northwest Illinois to 43 in the far south. Cloudy with periods of light snow in Champaign-Urbana tomorrow with a high of 32, maybe an inch of snow, and some blowing snow during the afternoon with windy conditions. Tomorrow night, clearing and cold, the low 9 above. And on Sunday, sunny during the morning, increasing clouds in the afternoon, and a high of 27. Looking ahead to Monday, cloudy with a chance of a few light snow or rain showers, and the temperature hitting 33. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, December 5th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.